Many believe that the health and the strength of the traditional family is vital to the health and the strength of any nation. But where is God in that equation? Can God bless a nation when the most fundamental form of government, the family, is falling apart and being redefined? If we truly were living in a God-blessed nation, would things look different than they do currently in America? Would the way we raise our kids look different? Today, let's imagine God-blessed homes in a God-blessed America, right here on Licensed to Parent. Well, hello and welcome once again to Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a year-long residential program for teens in crisis. Our goal, to put ourselves out of business by teaching you to be the kind of parent God designed you to be, so that your teens won't end up needing our help. And Trace, you and I have talked in the past about billboards we see, about bumper stickers and signs of all kinds that really are everywhere that say, God bless America. And compared to a lot of other nations around the world, it looks like God certainly has blessed America. But I know, especially in recent conversations, you have a much different take on this, don't you?
Well, I do, Rich, and I think our guest might too. I'm not saying God hasn't blessed America. I'm saying that His hand of blessing isn't there as it once was.
Yeah.
For many years now, my prayer mantra has gone away from God bless America to may America bless God. It's just hard for me to look around at what our government, our citizenry, our families, and even the church is doing in the face of God and you know, genuinely pray a prayer like God bless America. But even in saying that, I look at some of these young people, and I still have hope for the future, especially these kids graduating Shepherd's Hill, just to see them being on fire to go out there and get things changed once they've had a chance to see, as Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story. Just amazing to me. I'm encouraged by that.
It certainly is. And, you know, when you look at a new believer or a new generation, what you see is a zeal that I think many of us who are older through the years may have forgotten. But we need to reclaim some of that zeal for our nation. And for our families and for God. And Trace, our guest today, is a man who, in my opinion, has never lost his zeal, or, as the book of Revelation might put it, his first love. Dr. Richard Land is with us today. He's a teacher and author and the president of Southern Evangelical Seminary. He's taught as a visiting or adjunct professor for several seminaries and has authored or edited more than 15 books. Dr. Land was honored as the 2013 Watchman Award recipient from the Family Research Council. That was for his leadership on moral and cultural issues. He also received the Philip E. Johnson Award for Liberty and Truth from Biola University in 2010. And Dr. Land served previously as the president of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. That's the Southern Baptist Convention's official entity assigned to address social, moral, and ethical concerns, and particular attention in that being paid to their impact on American families. And to think, Trace, you thought Dr. Land would have nothing to say on today's subject.
Well, Dr. Land, welcome back to the Licensed to Parent broadcast. It's an honor to have you back.
Well, thank you, and thank you for what you're doing. You know, as far as I'm concerned, you're the Good Samaritan. Coming in and rescuing children who have not had the blessing that God wants all children to have, sure, which is a mom and a dad who love them and who love the Lord and who rear them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord.
Yeah, we're just trying to get things back to, as Rich would say, their factory settings. You know, there are a lot of parents today reaping the harvest of a radically changed America that you and I knew, not just as kids, but even as middle-aged adult parents ourselves. In light of the fact that Jesus changed the entire world with just 12 guys and no internet, what encouragement can your book, Imagine a God-Blessed America, bring to parents raising kids in today's fast-paced digital world?
Well, first and foremost, that the most important thing you can do, aside from telling your children that God loves them and Jesus died for them and God has a wonderful plan for their lives, is to model before them what it means to be a biblical husband and a biblical wife, and what it means to be a biblical father, and what it means to be a biblical mother. And the home is the basic building block of human society. It was ordained by God that way. I can only find three divinely ordained institutions in human society. The first is the family. The second is the church. And the third is the civil magistrate, the government. And the government's role is pretty limited. It's there to punish those who do evil and to reward those who do that which is right. And we have not found any substitute ever for a stable, intact family in terms of the success rate of raising healthy, productive adults and citizens in society.
Why is a knowledge and understanding of our culture and the topic of worldview in general, particularly the understanding of what a biblical worldview actually is, and in, today what a postmodern worldview is, why is it so important that parents get a handle on these two things today?
Well, I think, first of all, because we live in a post-Christian culture. Mm-hmm. The culture that I was raised in most baby boomers were raised in is a culture that was operating from what Francis Schaeffer called a Christian memory. It was not a Judeo-Christian culture. Now, my parents, the greatest generation, the World War II generation, mm-hmm. they were really raised in what was still a Christian culture. We were raised in a culture that still had a Christian memory of what was right and wrong.
The shell.
That was honored more in the breach than in the observance, but it was still there.
Right.
Now we live in a post-Christian emerging pagan culture, and we need to understand that as parents, that we have to be far more protective of our children and seek to do far more to insulate them from the impact of the world and the impact of their peers. I was struck by this just the other day. I had a friend of mine who was moving. God had called him to a different ministry. And I said, well, how are your children responding to this? And he said, they were like 14 and 11. He said, that's not really a problem because we're the most significant, my wife and I are the most significant peer group in their lives because they were homeschooled. Mm-hmm. And they did this to insulate them. I mean, frankly, I think it is a rare, almost an endangered species public school that Christians should put their children in today.
Think about this. You're sending them to an eight-hour-a-day apologetic for Antichrist worldview, secular worldview, evolutionary thought, homosexual agenda, revisionist history. Why is it that so often our culture seems to wield more sway over our values, attitudes, and behaviors than even our own faith in God wields? Is it because that we've immersed ourselves in culture more than we immerse ourselves in our relationship with God? I mean, what exactly is going on there?
Well, I think, first of all, we have to understand that, God said it wasn't good for man to be alone, and he wasn't just talking there about a wife. Mm-hmm. He was talking about the fact that he created us as social creatures. He created us as social creatures for first fellowship with him, and then fellowship with our spouse and our family, and with each other. We are fellowship creatures, and we're going to be influenced by our culture. The example I use is my parents both grew up during the Great Depression. And I was born after World War II. I grew up in the baby boom. Mm-hmm. Now, the Great Depression clearly imprinted that whole generation.
Right.
My parents used to always talk to me about, I couldn't understand the Great Depression. It was beyond my cognitive grid.
Right.
A country where there was 25% unemployment and there was no unemployment insurance, mm-hmm. for instance. Well, that was their cultural experience, their generational cultural experience. We're all going to be impacted by our culture. And when the average person is watching 4 hours of television a day, right. and being bombarded by subliminal and not so subliminal anti-Christian neo-pagan messages. I mean, people who come here from other countries notice that we live in a sex-obsessed, violence-obsessed culture.
Oh, is that right?
We tend to be sort of immune to it because we're desensitized.
Right.
But it's there. Mm-hmm. And so, I have to be much more careful. I was much more careful of my children's TV viewing, how much they viewed and what they were viewing, than my parents had to be.
Yeah. Right.
Because of what's on television,
yeah.
or what's on the movies, or who my friends were. I went to a public school, and very few of my peers' parents were divorced.
Right.
And most of the kids had, if they weren't Baptist, they were Methodist, or they were Catholic. There were very few that were coming from homes that were completely unchurched.
Yeah.
I had a reporter ask me, about 5 years ago. Well, what, you know, what would America look like if it was the way you wanted it to be? And I said, well, America in about 1960, without the racism and without the sexism.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
I agree. I looked at these guys, this greatest generation, the soup kitchen lines and the black and white pictures. These guys, they dressed like they were going to church. They all had hats and ties and coats, even in a soup line back then. And now our kids are going to public school, and we are mimicking what the third world occult people, the things they wear, what they do to their bodies, tattooing and piercings, and even the music they listen to. And I was talking to Dr. Norman Geisler one time, and I asked him, I said, Dr. Geisler, I didn't ask him, I said, I'm going to make a statement. I said, I believe that music is probably the single most destructive tool the devil used against our teenage population, our culture at large, and even the church. I said, what do you say about that? Beyond internet pornography. And he didn't miss a beat. He said, I couldn't agree with you more. And if you listen to what those kids are listening to, and then have it legitimized by our president inviting, self-proclaimed occultists, Beyonce and Jay-Z, into the White House as if they're some heroes. These guys are billionaires. Our kids are looking up to this, and it's like the church doesn't seem to get it. We've adopted some of these things even in our youth groups.
Well, Dr. Geisler is the founder of the school that I'm now the president of. Mm-hmm. Southern Evangelical Seminary, and he is a great man.
Sure.
And he's always speaks wisdom. And I would agree with you that the current music scene is the most pervasive bad influence on our young people.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's the worst influence. I think it's still internet pornography. I mean, hardcore internet pornography, which is now ubiquitously available, mm-hmm. the average age of exposure to hardcore pornography is now 11. It's just a subterranean river of electronic, spiritual, and toxic waste that is just corroding a whole generation. You know, I think most people over 30 don't really understand what we're talking about when we're talking about hardcore pornography.
Yeah,
well, that could be.
Thank God they don't understand.
Yeah.
But I mean, it is so debased, so horrifically pagan and satanic that it is just the fact that we are allowing our children to be exposed to this stuff.
It's incredible.
Without burying the producers of this stuff and the purveyors of this stuff so deep in the penitentiary that they'd have to pump sunlight into them will someday be seen as one of the most dim-witted things we've done in our society.
I agree with you.
Yep. I need to jump in here, Dr. Lamb, because we need to take a break on the Licensed to Parent program. I do want to say this is something I'd like us to talk about when we come back. We need to turn the corner, though, because we've been talking about society's influence on us, and we need to reclaim the reins and begin influencing society again. I've often said that our nation has lost its statesmen, and I think most of us are guilty at looking out for number one and forgetting that we have responsibilities both as citizens but also moral responsibilities under God that go way beyond our own four walls. So when we come back, I'd like us to look into the role that parents need to take in raising their kids with the greater culture in mind. You're listening to Licensed to Parent, our guest Dr. Richard Land, and we are talking about imagining a God-blessed America. Don't go away, we'll be right back. It's difficult to see the light at the end of the tunnel when you're face-to-face with a teenager who argues with you at every turn. Maybe you and your teen can't talk to one another about anything without it getting complicated. For nearly two decades, Shepherd's Hill Academy has been bringing healing to teens and families from around the world. Up until now, that help has come through its residential treatment facility in North Georgia. But now, your family can benefit from that experience at home through Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching, designed to help you discern God's will for your family, build good communication skills, deal with defiant children, and more. Our family coaching team will work with you by phone, in your home, at work, even while you're on the road, to help your family develop a game plan to succeed. Sign up for Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching today by visiting LicensedToParent.org. Live the family life your family was designed for. click on the Family Coaching banner at LicensedToParent.org. Teen rebellion, depression, addiction, rage, cutting, and suicide are destroying our families today. But there is a way out. Shepherd's Hill Academy offers a 12-month, Christ-centered, nonprofit residential program where kids are being transformed with a biblical worldview and often medication-free. Christian apologist Ravi Zacharias is just one of many Christian leaders who understands what's happening at Shepherd's Hill Academy.
It really is such an honor to come alongside Shepherd's Hill Ministries and Licensed to Parent to rescue those who have been seduced along the way. I cannot gainsay how important this is, and to get behind a ministry like this, one will find the rewards to be extremely powerful in changing society.
Get the help you need at Shepherd's Hill Academy. Go to helpmytroubledteen.org. helpmytroubledteen.org. Welcome back. This is Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, located just north of Atlanta, a year-long therapeutic program for teens in crisis. Today, we are talking about a God-blessed America and whether or not that still exists. And our guest is Dr. Richard Land. And Dr. Land, right before the break, I raised the issue about most of us really being self-centered, looking out for number one, and we have lost our statesmanship. We've lost our personal responsibility to influence the culture. How can parents take back this role? How can we raise our kids with the greater culture in mind?
Oh, I think we teach them all of the implications of what Jesus says when he says to Christians that we are to be the salt of the earth and we are to be the light of the world. Now, I'm a Texan. I take beef jerky with me everywhere I go. First of all, because it's my patriotic duty to eat some form of a cow every day. And secondly, no matter how long I have that beef jerky in my briefcase, it stays perfectly edible and succulent because it's had salt rubbed into it.
Right.
And it's cured it against decay and degeneration. So if we're going to be the salt of the earth, we have to come close enough to society to touch the society with the preserving salt of the gospel. And so there's no room for us to withdraw if we're going to be obedient to be salt. And then Jesus says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So we can't hide our light under a bushel. We are to let it shine and let it shine close enough to the world they can see the light and feel the heat. And so I think we, first of all, we need to try to redress the balance in our own lives and in our children's lives between that which is godly and that which is ungodly, which takes far more effort in our culture today than it used to take. I think it means rationing television time,
yep,
rationing the entertainment that we expose our children to.
Absolutely.
I think it means, in most cases, either homeschooling or going to a very overtly Christian school.
Right.
We need to model before our children a daily devotion time, a daily family devotion time, and they need to see mom and dad praying together.
Sure.
In homes where the mom and dad pray together every day, the divorce rate's 1 in 500, not 1 in 2.5.
That statement is true. The family that prays together stays together. There's no doubt about that.
Yes, sir.
You know, so many Americans have bought this revisionist history definition of separation of church and state. How do wise parents adequately unravel that for their kids and then get in there and change their spheres of influence on this subject, their schools, their communities?
Well, first of all, if we want our children to understand American history, we're going to have to teach it to them ourselves.
Yeah, you're right.
Because they're not going to be taught it at all unless they are taught in a Christian school. And then secondly, I think that we need to, what I would do, and this is just a real practical thing, I would get a copy of Wayne Grudem's book, Politics According to the Bible, and I would go through the first chapter very carefully with him. Because in that first chapter, he gives the 5 wrong views of how Christians should relate to society, and then he gives the right view.
Mm-hmm.
And the wrong views are that the state controls the church.
Right.
They'll always get it wrong.
Right.
Second, the church controls the state. That's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Third, that the third wrong idea is that government's evil, and so Christians shouldn't have anything to do with it.
Yeah.
And the fourth view is just preach the gospel and don't worry about what's going on in society. Mm-hmm. And the fifth view is the fifth wrong view is the social gospel, yeah. that you just try to improve society and you don't tell people about Jesus.
Right.
And the right view is, as born-again believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we go out into the society and we seek to be salt and light.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how you feel about this, Dr. Land, but I don't see it as even practically possible to separate church and state as currently defined. Your thoughts?
Well, as it's currently defined, no. I do think that the institution of the church and the institution of the state ought to be separate, which is what our forefathers meant,
right.
to protect the church.
Mm-hmm.
The First Amendment is there not to protect the state.
Right.
From the church, but to protect the church from the state.
Exactly.
But I don't believe you can have separation between religious conviction and public policy.
Because an atheist has a religious conviction.
Everybody has religious right. conviction. Whatever your ultimate values are, those are your religious convictions, and you can't separate your religious convictions from public policy.
Right.
But I don't want the state involved with the church.
Right. Right.
You know, this Roger Williams, Roger Williams, long before Thomas Jefferson, had it right. He said that you have to have a wall separating the wilderness of the world from the garden of the church.
Hmm.
And that the church is there to protect the church. And then the church goes out and tries to domesticate more and more of the wilderness and turn it into a garden.
I think it's important for people to remember you were referring to the constitutional amendments. Well, the first 10 amendments, which were our Bill of Rights,
mm-hmm.
were all for the protection of the people, so as not
right.
to give the government too great a hand in ruling us or overruling us. And if we, the people, are the church, then we've got to just assume that this separation of church and state falls in our favor, not in the state's favor.
Well, just think about it. What does the First Amendment say? Congress shall make no law affecting an establishment of religion, nor interfering with the free exercise thereof. You and I can't violate the First Amendment. Our church can't violate the First Amendment. The First Amendment's restrictions are all on the government.
Exactly.
I want to know, the homosexual agenda is opening the door to some incredible changes in our nation. How should Christian parents be preparing their young children for this? Because this is, to me, this is abominable.
Well, it's not only abominable, it is exceedingly dangerous. There are already discussions going on in psychiatric and psychological circles that they want to lump racism, sexism, and homophobia together as a intolerant personality disorder.
DSM-5 is a joke.
Well, this didn't get into the DSM-5.
No, but there'll be a DSM-6.
But listen to this. If they succeed, and they're you know, 20 years ago we would have said that it was crazy we would ever have same sex marriage.
Mm-hmm.
The same people who pushed same sex marriage are pushing having racism, sexism, and homophobia lumped together as an intolerant personality disorder. That's a mental illness. Now, if that's declared a mental illness, they can take your children away. I mean, let's understand what's at stake here. What's at stake here is our ability to continue to raise our children and to have guardianship of our children in a culture that wants to turn all of us who have biblical convictions into the equivalent of KKK racists.
It's incredible. 1973, the American Psychiatric Association considered homosexuality a mental illness.
Yep.
It's amazing in just, you know, 40, 50 years how this thing can get turned around. I'm just absolutely astonished. And, you know,
the one thing I find encouraging about what the homosexual agenda has done.
What's that?
They're only at most 5% of the population. If they can do that with 5% of the population, think what we can do with God's help, having a significantly higher percentage of the population we get involved.
That's the very thing that has puzzled me from day one, is that our infrastructure is already there in place. And, you know, these guys got, like you say, at max 5%, some would argue 1%, but for them to have that much power, but they have the microphone. The power is in the right positions. What's it going to take for us to get that microphone back, Dr. Land?
Well, I think that we are, you know, first of all, we have to have the courage to speak.
Yeah.
You know, but I've said it before, I'll say it again. If we all are willing to go to jail, none of us will have to.
That's a good statement. I like that.
But, you know, what was it Martin Niemöller, the Nazi-era pastor, said? First they came for the socialists, and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a trade unionist. Then they came for the communists, and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a communist. And then they came for the Jews, and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a Jew. And then they came for me, and there wasn't anybody to speak up for me.
That's an excellent point. Our guest today is Dr. Richard Land. He is, first of all, the author of the book, Imagine a God-Blessed America, which is what we've been talking about today. He's also the president of Southern Evangelical Seminary. And Dr. Land, it has been in the past and is today quite an honor to have you with us, and we hope that you will join us again, because this conversation could last for weeks.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for having me, and I want to praise God publicly for what y'all are doing.
Thank you.
We have an obligation and a responsibility to be out there trying to rescue as many children as we can who, you know, they don't choose to be born into broken homes.
That's right.
They're the innocent victims here.
Yeah.
They don't choose to have their dads abandon them. They don't choose to not have the experience of understanding what a father's love is or a mother's love is. And I believe God's called us to a ministry. Part of the ministry of reconciliation is seeking to be substitute dads and substitute moms and provide substitute families. So I praise God for what you're doing.
Amen. Well, thank you. Listen, if you're ever on your way to Atlanta sometime, we're just a few miles off Highway 85, please come by and see us. I want to encourage you with the fact that these kids, once they're equipped with this information, we have them for a year. They take this stuff. We're taking colonels and generals in the devil's army, and it is really making them change agents to our culture. They're on fire to go out there, not just survive it, but transform it. It's God's word. God's word.
Again, Dr. Land's book is Imagine a God-Blessed America. You can find out more about his ministry and his many books. You can do so at ses.edu. That's ses.edu. And this is Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a year-long residential program located just north of Atlanta, Georgia, helping troubled teens from all over the world. You can learn more by going to licensedtoparent.org and clicking on the link to Shepherd's Hill Academy. And by the way, please remember that our ministry to teens and their parents costs a lot of money. And if you can help defray some of those costs, the cost of counselors or teachers, the cost of room and board, and the general operating expenses, through a tax-deductible donation of any size, we would be very, very grateful. And as our way of saying thanks for any donation that you can make before the end of July, we'd like to send you a free copy of the DVD Captivated, Finding Freedom in a Media Captive Culture, part of which was filmed right here at Shepherd's Hill Academy. Captivated addresses the problems that families are facing from digital media overload. And again, the DVD can be yours. It's free of charge with your gift in any amount before the end of July 2014. And you can give securely at licensedtoparent.org. For Trace Embry, I'm Rich Rosl, hoping you'll be back with us again next time to renew your license to parent.
And remember, folks, if you don't train your children, somebody else will. God bless you. We'll see you next time.